Amen. Good morning again, church. Thank you so much for being here today. If you have your Bible with you, I'm going to ask you to turn over to the 19th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 19, and I will ask you, if you would, to look down at verse 41 and following for the next four verses. Luke 19:41. Excuse me. "And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side. And they shall lay these things and shall lay these even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knowest not the time of thy visitation." Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have this morning to worship you corporately together as the church. Father, we thank you for the joy that we were able to receive in seeing Terry and Tammy baptized, Lord. We thank you so much for them and for their privilege and their life and their ministry. Father, we thank you for the fact that they've chosen Lena Vista Baptist Church to be their home. And Father, we just pray for each and every one that's here this morning. God, will you would open our eyes to your word, open our hearts and our minds, Lord, to the truth. We thank you, Father, for the privilege of singing and praying and fellowshipping together, Lord, as your children. And now, Lord, as the message is being brought from your word today, speak to us, Lord, all of us, up close and personal. Lord, use me, speak to me, speak through me, Father, for your glory, Lord, and for my growth and for the growth of these that are here today. If there's anyone lost and they know it, Lord, today would be the day. I pray that they would receive you as Lord and Savior. We thank you for all you are, for all that you do, and for all that you mean to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, God bless you. Somebody found the lights. I'm almost blind without my lights on up here, folks. That's the reason I'm struggling with the scripture. We know from the testimony of the Gospels, from the beginning of Matthew all the way through the end of John, that Jesus spoke many, many things to the people. He went where they were. He was spending time with them. He held their children. He spoke truth in their ears on a regular basis. When they asked him questions, he would gladly answer those questions. When there was a need, Jesus did what he could to fulfill that need, and many of the common folks, whom most of the religious leaders would refuse to have anything to do with, Jesus touched their lives. We know by the testimony of God's word that we are lost in our trespasses and sins, that we are dead in our trespasses and sins without the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. He made it very clear to us in the book of Ephesians, and there are plenty of other places that talk about our condition without the saving grace of the Lord Jesus in our lives. What the people missed then, I think, is some of the things that people today miss as well. They miss the love of the Lord Jesus. They miss the passion of Jesus. They miss the sacrifice of Jesus. They miss the opportunity to know how much he loves them. They understand what they want to understand so many times instead of what's absolutely true and written out here in the Word of God. And this passage of Scripture, it recognizes basically almost the end of the ministry of Jesus. He knew that if he went back to Jerusalem, it would ultimately wind up in his death. But he was very clear that's why he came. He came to set people free. He wanted us to believe in him. He wanted us to know him. He wanted us to cherish him. He wanted us to worship him. He wanted to bless you and I, irregardless of whether or not we looked for it. The thing about it is that the blindness of the folks that we live with today is much like the blindness of the people that Jesus walked the face of the earth with. The people who are the blindest are those who refuse to see. You know, and I'm not talking about a physical condition of the inability to see anything at all with your eyes, but I'm talking about a spiritual condition where many folks just refuse to hear the word of God. So as Jesus got close to Jerusalem, he began, according to the testimony of the scripture, he began to be sad because he'd been there so many times and he'd spoken to the word, he'd spoken about who he was, about why he came, about what he was all about, and most of that message fell on the deaf ears. And rather than being angry because he was rejected, Jesus was sad. And the scripture here says basically in verse 41, and when he was come near, he beheld the city. It didn't say he was angry. It says he wept over it. That's a strong word. As the singing crowd, and we're introduced to a crowd of people. If you look back at verse 37, this is what we call the triumphal entry of Jesus. It said, and when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. There were many folks who understood it. There were many folks who got it. There were many folks who appreciated Jesus. They had this one particular image of what he was going to be like, and Jesus would prove them wrong ultimately, but they stood and they cheered and they put their clothing upon the colt that Jesus rode in on. And it says that they rejoiced and that they praised God loudly with a mighty voice. And they praised him because of all the mighty things that they had seen. With their own eyes, they were able to have seen what Jesus had done. He had healed so many sick people. He had caused the blind to see and the lame to walk and the deaf to hear. And he had done so many things, even brought people back from the dead. And the question that just, it reeks to me, how could you see that much and still not believe? It's always been a mystery to me how you could be able to be there physically in person and watch Jesus speak to a man who's never walked a day in his life. And he got up leaping and praising and shouting and praising the Lord, and he went to worship immediately, knowing that it was God that brought this about. Jesus was sad. He was sad because the people not only didn't hear him, but they wouldn't hear him. And I think that's the burden of most pastors nowadays, is that we sing and we preach as the word, you know, we preach the word of God, we teach the word of God in Sunday school, we sing great hymns of the faith, we sing special music, that, you know, we believe in Jesus Christ and what a mighty Savior, what a wonderful Savior he is. But yet I often wonder sometimes, are we hearing with our heart and are we hearing with our mind and not just our ears? And as Jesus was coming forth down into Jerusalem here with this crowd of those people that were shouting and praising God, and they were glorifying Jesus and thinking maybe he was going to be king, what was going on in his heart that he was weeping? He wept over the city of Jerusalem. And I find that very, very interesting to me. The wept here is a very, very strong verb. It's the verb that was used in other places in that particular passage and more in chapter 7, verses 13 and 32, and chapter 8, verses 52. And the word describes the brokenheartedness of the people that would be attending a funeral. It was that kind of broken. Jesus was that kind of passionate about a city who basically had rejected him. He was that kind of passionate and that kind of broken over those folks that he knew most of them were not going to listen to him. Most of them would have been misinformed about his purpose there. And the sad reality of the matter is here we are in the 21st century, and let's just get real for a second. I'm not throwing rocks at you, not aiming anything at you, but our churches are not full these days, are they? They're not full. It's not that we aren't singing the great hymns of the faith. It's not that we're not doing special music. It's not that we're not teaching folks in our Sunday school classes the Word of God. It's not that the Word of God is not being preached here today and every time we get an opportunity. And I thank you always for the privilege of speaking the truth in your ears, because that's the only thing that's going to set us free, is the truth of the Word of God. So Jesus, as he was being praised and glorified, entered into the city of Jerusalem, and it was a sad moment for him. He knew why he was there, and he realized that this rebellious city wasn't going to hear him. The message wasn't going to be listened to. It wasn't going to be taken care of. But he opens his heart. Look at verse 42. This is so powerful. Verse 42 says, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Jesus said, if you would just wake up, if you just would have paid attention, if you had have known that there's peace available for you, if you had known that my love was great for you, if you had known that I came here to lay down my life on a cross so that you might have a meaningful relationship with me. Jesus said, but now, unfortunately, because of the position you have taken, these things are hidden from your eyes. And then he's going to make a prediction, and it's not going to be pretty in any way, form, or fashion. Verse 43 says, for the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. My friends, every chance we get, every opportunity we get to do corporate worship here, Jesus is here with us. It is his visitation in his church in the neighborhood. And the thing about it is the power that resurrected people from the dead, the power that caused those folks to be able to see and to walk and to hear, is the same kind of power that's in this building today. It's form of the Holy Spirit. We have an opportunity to hear and to decide and to make choices, and it becomes incredibly important that that would take place. I find it interesting. The word Jerusalem means Mount of Peace. But the prediction of Jesus is that you could have had that kind of peace had you listened and paid attention. You could have had that kind of peace if you had known me, if you had known what I was about, if you had known who I was. And it's interesting because, you know, they were pursuing a course here that would be an inevitable confrontation with the power of Rome. And history tells us very clearly, you know, Jesus is about to pass off the earth by crucifixion and be resurrected from the dead, ascended to the right hand of the Father somewhere around AD 33 to AD 35. It would only be a matter of about 35 to 37 years later that Rome would march on Jerusalem and they would level it. It says that not one stone would be left on another. I don't know that we've seen that kind of destruction in our lifetimes, where a thing would be completely destroyed, where there was absolutely nothing left. That was the prediction of Jesus. Those were his words very, very clearly. So instead of embracing Jesus in the moment that God had made available to them, they ignored him. They pursued a course of their own choice. I read a quote out of one of the commentaries that I studied for this message, and I want to read it for you, because it's pointed and I can't say it better than this. The door of opportunity opens often, but it also closes with a grim kind of finality. The unseeing eyes of the people fail to perceive that for a little while they have had in their midst the only one who can bring real peace. The rejection of Jesus was due in part to a blind dedication to the kind of belief that was leading to an eventual clash with Rome, which would inevitably issue in the total destruction of Jerusalem. Bottom line is they insisted on having their own way in their own time. They would choose whose voice they would listen to. They would choose what they would believe was truth. They would choose the direction that they were going to go in, and it would ultimately be a faulty choice. And all the Roman, all the history books talk about the fall of Rome and how devastating, or Jerusalem by Rome in AD 70, and how devastating it would be. You know, the only way that Jerusalem would be able to be taken was ultimately they would camp outside. There would be a long siege there. They would cut supplies off. They were surrounded by a superior force that they had no way of defending themselves. They could, and this force that surrounded them, and it was common practice for invading armies to surround cities, to cut off anything coming in or going out. There was no opportunity for food. They would cut off water supplies if they could, and they would wait patiently until that city would be simply overwhelmed, or that many of them there would starve to death. And there are testimonies throughout the Word of God about the horrible times of famine in the land. Sometimes that famine was caused by an invading army. Jerusalem would find themselves in a really, really difficult situation. Jerusalem, I believe the Bible verifies this, that Jerusalem's fate is attributed to her failure to see that God had visited them in the person of Jesus Christ, and the choice to be free indeed, really free, was in the person of Jesus. The time of his visitation came, and the time of his visitation went, without them ever being aware of that. Their rejection of Jesus had blinded their eyes to his purpose and why he was there. And it was a really terrible situation, because they would not see Jesus. Ultimately, it got to the place where they could no longer see Jesus. I realize in my own life, and you've heard part of this testimony before, that I've sat under enough gospel to save the entire world 100 times over. If there were still pews at Berea Baptist Church in the old building, I feel sure that there would be grip marks where during an invitation that was my visitation from the Holy Spirit of God representing Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for me, if I would have just let go. This is not giving up. This is surrendering. And we don't use that word very often because it looks like failure. But I would share with you from my heart and from my mind today, please don't miss the visitation of the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit in your life today. You're here for a reason. You're not here by accident. This is a divine appointment. You're here because the Lord wants you to hear what he has to say to you. You're here because he would love it if you would make a right choice. Maybe you need to be saved. Maybe you need to be baptized, like Tammy and Terry got baptized this morning. I love to be able to do that. We got plenty of water, trust me. We'll fill that thing up a dozen times if we need to. If you need to be baptized, I don't know about you, but that just thrills my soul to start a service with a baptism. Because that lets me know that Jesus is still, the Holy Spirit is still speaking. The Lord is still convicting hearts. The Lord is still speaking to you and I. The Lord is still visiting you and I on a regular basis. I don't know about you, but certain songs bring me to tears. Certain visitations from the Lord bring me, it's a moment of reality. It's a moment of wake up. You know, it's a moment where God says, hey, I'm still here, and I still care about you, and I still love you, and I want you to hear me. I'm here for your benefit. Would you please open your eyes and see me? I'm not here to judge you unless you continue to reject me. You see, that's the truth. And the truth isn't always fun, but it is always the truth. And it's a good thing to know that. Things that we need to learn from these four simple verses. Oh, let me flip back over to Matthew for just a minute. Just a couple pages to the left. Flip back over to Matthew. Look at chapter 23. And look down at a couple of verses. And you can hear in these words, you can hear in these words the heart of Jesus Christ as he speaks to the city of Jerusalem. Matthew 23, verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Here's my heart, Jerusalem. I love you enough to lay down my life for you, which is coming very soon. I love you enough to speak the truth in your ears so that you might recognize my visitation to you. I love you enough to tell you exactly how it is so that you might be given a chance whereby you can choose me, not the way you have always been going. Unfortunately, your reputation is that you have killed the prophets and you have stoned those who have been sent unto you to speak to you. I think of Paul's life, not necessarily in Jerusalem, but there was a time that he was stoned and left for dead. Why is that? Because he was preaching the truth, because he was sharing what he knew to be the absolute truth in the Word of God. You see, Jesus loves deeply even those people who oppose him. You see, that's news to a dying world. That's news. You and I don't often love those people who outright oppose us. We don't often love those people who would love to have us dead. We don't often love those people who step on us and despitefully use us, but yet Jesus told us that we're supposed to love them and forgive them, and he demonstrated that. You know, he would give his life for them as well as he gave it for those of us who believe. I find that to be absolutely magnificent. We need to understand that the kingdom of God comes on Jesus' terms, not on our terms. Church needs to look like what God wanted it to look like, what Jesus came to educate us about. It needs to look like that. What would that look like, Pastor? What on earth is it supposed to look like? It means there need to be saved people. If you're lost, you need to be saved. The church of God is a church that where people who are saved attend. What else would it be? It would be those who would be convicted by the Holy Spirit to serve and to use whatever talents and whatever gifts they have for the value and the edification of the church. We've been teaching on Wednesday night about the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. The gift that you've been given, my friends, is a gift that God wants you to use through the local church. It came from God and it needs to be used for God. So what would Jesus' church look like? It would look like those where people are getting saved, where folks are being baptized, where folks are joining his fellowship and moving forward. It would look like a place where people would want to serve the Lord Jesus. Their heart would be, let me find out what it is I'm passionate about. Let me be reminded where I'm gifted. I want to know what my gifts are so that I can invest those in the local church and that I can be a blessing and I can help promote the kingdom of God through the local church, and it'd be for my growth and for his glory. It would be a place where humility would abound, where forgiveness would be in order, where none of us would think that we were better than the next person, no matter how long we've been here or whatever it is we've been doing. It would be saying, these folks are my brothers and these folks are my sisters, and I will love them the way the Lord Jesus wants me to love them. And together, my friends, as the church, we then begin to make an impact, not on just one another, but even a lost world that might wander in here. It's all about love. Paul said to the church at Corinth, do everything in love. Everything. Do everything in love. Make sure that you understand that's the standard by which we operate. 1 Corinthians 13, what a magnificent chapter on love, tells us what it is and what it's not. And it would also talk about dedication, being willing to be here when you needed to be here, being willing to be invested when you needed to be invested. We need to look like the church. Jesus came into Jerusalem, and it wasn't his first trip there. He had taught in their streets. He had taught in their synagogues. He had demonstrated who he was and why he was there. He had spoken truth in the ears of those folks, whether they wanted to hear it or not, whether it was pleasant or not. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. He was very clear about his purpose and as his church. And I emphasize his, as his church. That's our goal. That's why we're here as well. And I believe that just as it was for Jerusalem, there is a door of opportunity available for you and I. And if we aren't careful, one day that door may close. Because you see, My friend, risks, taking risks, often causes us to lose. And I believe ultimately, too, that the only one who will ever bring real peace to us, real peace, not wishful thinking, real peace, is Jesus Christ. I stand on that. I live by that. I believe that with all my heart. It took me a while to get saved. And I was not happy before I was saved. I can tell you that. Not happy. Searching. Didn't know. Had heard all these words, all this gospel. Yeah, I had a drug problem when I was a kid. My parents drugged me to church. You heard that one before? Yeah. It was a drug. And I had an eye problem as well. It was I, what I wanted, when I wanted it, how I wanted it. You know, maybe you can relate to that just a little bit. I get that, okay? That was Kenny. What I found out was is that the Lord Jesus had plans for me. Whether I wanted them or not was irrelevant. Because you've heard that part of my testimony. I'm the most surprised person on the planet that I would ever have the privilege or even remotely a little bit of ability to stand up here and share the word of God with you, because I was really, really bashful. And none of you can believe that, right? It's really true. Jesus visited me, and he said, I want you. Jesus said very clearly, in this world you're going to have trouble, but be a good cheer. Why is that? Because I have overcome the world. See, you can call it an invasion if you want to. The Lord wants you and I to recognize that in no way can we save ourselves. The Bible's very clear. No man comes to the Father except through the Son. So this work that Jesus was doing, the cross that he bore, the resurrection, the ascension, and the intercession at the right hand of God, folks, it's for you and me and for all who would believe. And for those who don't believe, rather than Jesus getting angry and all puffed up about it, it brought him to tears, because he had done everything that he knew how to do. He had spoken all the words that he needed to speak. He had demonstrated all of the humility and the love and the sacrifice that any one human being could exhibit. He lived among the people. He loved the people. He appreciated them. He spoke to them. He gave to them. And he died for them. And he rose again for them. And the thing about it is that when he rode into that city, most of those disciples and those who loved him around him were celebrating a magnificent celebration. But Jesus knew that there were so many more whose opportunity had closed. With Richard's passing, we have one more reminder that we just don't know, do we? Just that quick. I'm not one to try to preach from a position of making people afraid. But you can't get past the whole idea that we're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised the rest of today. Down deep in my heart, I'm incredibly sad for those people in the Bahamas right now. They are going to take an absolutely severe beating from a storm. And it makes me wonder sometimes. We've seen the scramble even here. All of us, to some degree, have prepared in some way. If this thing doesn't turn to the north, we may be facing a pretty serious storm. I think the bigger question is this. If you're lost today, the storm of your lostness is the greatest storm you will ever bear. And if the window of opportunity opens for you and you reject that, your eternity will be your choice, as it always is. I believe that's what Jesus meant. I've come here. I've spoken to you. I've loved you. I've lived among you. I've touched you in every way that I know how to touch you, with goodness and kindness and forgiveness and love. And the sadness as he rode that colt into the city in the midst of the celebration, his heart was breaking for those people that he knew would continue to reject him. One of my commentaries that I read says, the tears of Jesus are the tears of God when he sees the needless pain and suffering in which people involve themselves through their foolish rebellion against his loving will for their life. That's the kind of sadness, you know, that Jesus knows. I am the way, the truth, and the life, he said. I am the answer. I am the way that you can receive heaven. I am the way. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. And I want to read two more paragraphs for you. Luke's gospel began by declaring that God had visited and redeemed his people in the person of Jesus Christ. And the long central section of Luke's gospel was designed to lead up to the day when Jerusalem would receive that royal visit from the Son of God. And now he tells us the day has come, and Jerusalem is just not ready for it. Yet the fact remains that God has visited his people for either salvation or for judgment. And if Jerusalem will not have him as their Savior, then she must have him as her judge. I would say that's as much true for America today as it ever was for Jerusalem. We have such a privilege to know the Lord Jesus as our Savior. We have such a privilege to gather together as his church, to worship him, to praise him, to celebrate him for all that he is, for all that he has done, for all that he continues to do, for all that he will continue to do. This is a privilege, folks, and I hope you see it as such. I thank you for your faithfulness. I love you and I appreciate you, but I pray more than anything else that if you're lost today, that this will be the day that you realize that this is the visitation for you from your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is here for you. He is here because he wants to speak to you. He is here because you need to be spoken to. And his prayer would be that you would open your eyes irregardless, that you would know that you know that you know, as Pastor Jay used to say, that if you died today, you'd go on and be with God in glory. As sad as it is for those of us who knew Richard and loved him, the greater joy in that process is that he is walking the streets of gold with no pain and no sorrow and no more death and no more sadness. The sadness is ours. If God speaks, when God speaks, please have ears to hear. It is incredibly important for you and I that we recognize and realize that everything Jesus did, he did so that people might believe in him. Don't miss the day of visitation, because it's a matter of life and death. It is a matter of eternity with Jesus or eternity without him. And the Bible is incredibly clear on what that's going to look like. And I can assure you that you don't want any part of that. If you're here today and you know that you know that you know that you're as lost as yesterday, please don't be embarrassed. Come down here and say, it's not important to me what these people might think. It's important to me what God might think, and I'd like to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I don't want to miss my day of visitation. I don't want to miss what he's done for me. I don't want to ignore the truth any longer. I don't want to wait. I don't want to hold on to the pew in front of me. I don't want to think I've got tomorrow promised to me. I want to do it today. I want to take care of it right now. I want to take care of it today. I want to nail it down. Maybe you're here and you need to be baptized. You've been saved, but you've never been baptized. Would love to do that. I wish we could do this every Sunday morning. I'd love to baptize every Sunday morning. Make you become a part of this loving family here at Lena Vista. Maybe you need to join this church. You know, like Pastor Jay used to say, stop dating the church. Go ahead and put a ring on it. Let's make this thing happen here. And I love that. You know, we'd love to have you. I mean, we really would love to have you as members of the family of God here at Lena Vista. Maybe you just need some altar time. Maybe you just need some time to bow your head during this invitation and speak to the Lord Jesus. There's no magic in coming forward. I won't pretend. But sometimes the Spirit of God just pricks your heart. And he said, you know what? You might want to go down there and talk to that pastor. You might want to go down there and y'all pray together. Or you might want to just get up and spend some time here at the altar. Whatever you want to do. Whatever the Spirit of God leads you to do. Don't miss your visitation. Stand with me as we pray. Father, you are indeed an awesome God. And as the song so appropriately says, oh, what a Savior. Lord, there might be some people here today who really need to make that choice. You've visited them several times, like Jesus visited Jerusalem, but for whatever reason, Lord, maybe they just haven't heard. Hasn't been the right moment. The truth hadn't sunk in where it needs to sink in. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would make the Word of God real to them today. You're the only one that can create conviction. And Father, I pray that if there's anyone here who needs to make that choice, they would do it today while there is still time. This passage of Scripture is very pointed. There's an opportunity. There is an open door. And someday that door will be closed and it will be too late. So I pray, Lord, that you would work in us, among us, and that this would be an invitation that lives would be changed for all eternity. We love you. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you come?
Hymn number 307.
Randy, will you dismiss us, please?
Father, we thank you.